This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up. Welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Sports Talk. I am your endearingly stubborn host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Yeah, welcome to 336.
That's right.
336.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got my. I continue to make progress in my little closet setup. So I was able to get my camera aimed properly this time. I was able to adjust the lights a little bit. So the closet setup's coming together.
Nice, nice. And once that closet setup is perfect, you'll probably move to another spot.
So. Yeah. I'm living with mom and dad now, so they're here for the month of October. So yeah, once we hit November, I'll probably move out of the closet because I'll have the condo to myself. Right. So that is correct.
All right. Well, we got to. We teased last week that this week we'd be going back and looking at our bold predictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Memorial season. So this is going back to, you know, after spring training, before the regular season, we shouted out some bold predictions. Josh shouted out some win totals.
So did you.
The zany one tried to, like, talk reason to us, and we had time for it.
The zany one was visiting us and might have been the most reasonable on the episode.
Yeah.
I definitely took a bunch of notes going back and listening today to prepare for it. But you know what my big note up in the corner of my sheet is?
What's that?
Has nothing to do with predictions.
Are you talking about the segment at the end of the show?
Yes, that we recorded this show on March 30th. And it wasn't the first time. It apparently had been a few times we had this discussion because
for an update.
It wasn't the PS5 story. It was a PS5 update on March 30th.
Yep.
So here we are on October 19th, and I am still giving PS5 updates.
And Josh, a year ago or whatever it was, enthusiastically was like, I got this good update.
The update
going on for the next, 8 months.
The update, if you go back and listen to our March 30th bold prediction episode, the PS5 update is he's bringing them over after the show. And here we are, October 19th, and I'm still waiting. I texted him tonight, and he said, I think I'll have them tonight. He ain't having them tonight.
I guarantee.
He won't. I'll see him tomorrow and give him a hard time. Because what's driving me crazy is I have to go back and look at real dates. Because I hid it from you for a while before giving you the PS5 update.
Right.
So I'm somewhat confused because of how the timing works out. But
I mean, we don't need to make this whole episode, but this is one of the most insane stories I've ever heard.
It is. It's ridiculous.
You give this guy money, he says he's going to have it. And then for months, he has this excuse where he says he's going to bring it tomorrow. And this goes on for months. It's stringing you along. I've never heard of a thing like this before.
I am very blessed that I have had really bad things happen to me over the past 10 months and really good things happen to me that I don't even have to worry about the PS5. Yeah, there's so much other stuff going on in my life that I don't really care. Yeah. I would love to have a PS5 to play, but I don't care. I've got good stuff going on in my life now. I got through the bad stuff, so the PS5, who cares?
Well, the part that makes me wake up at 2 a.m. and just chuckle to myself...
is the excuses.
Well, no, Josh, is the fact that you generously gave me your PS5, knowing that you would get these PS5s.
Yes.
I play mine like once a week. I'm not even that into it. You were much more into it than I would be.
I know.
And yet I'm sitting there having it, and you still don't have your PS5. That makes me chuckle sometimes.
I know. I saw a commercial during the Ravens game that there's a new Call of Duty game coming out, I guess in November or something. And I was like, oh, that looks cool. I hope I have a PS5 then. Yeah, what makes me chuckle is that I was able to go through a divorce in faster time than get a PlayStation.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, it's a pandemic. Everything moves a little bit more slowly. I've heard bottlenecks as far as, you know.
Yeah.
Supply and chain stuff. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. All those ships off the coast of California are having better luck than this guy.
Yeah. Well, maybe that. I'm looking forward to that being his next excuse.
It's somewhere on the Pacific.
Off the coast. They just need space to put it on the dock or something. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The excuses. I think we've ran out of them. So it might be next.
Yeah.
I don't know. But there's your PS5 update for the week. No, we don't have to get to it at the end. We'll hit it up at the top. And then,
All right, before we get into our revisiting our bold predictions and how we should have listened to Bert Rohde, thoughts on Ravens game? Have you been watching the MLB playoffs? Let's touch on this stuff a little bit. On the Ravens whooping up on the
big statement game for the Ravens.
Charges,
big statement game for the defense. And, I mean, I get the Ravens are beat up more than any team in the NFL. They got the most people in injury reserves and all that, most injuries. Big statement game coming in with the Rams. They were favorites, but only by 2 points. So to really just shut down Herbert, who has looked great this season, is a real big statement game. What did I say, the Rams?
These are the Rams.
I should just say it's Los
California
Angeles.
Teams,
I get them both confused because they're both blue and yellow. They're both from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they're both, like, up-and-coming teams.
I can't ever remember if it's called the Los Angeles Chargers, San Diego Chargers. I feel like going all Angels, the California, Anaheim.
Right, they should be the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fun. I liked Herbert's comments of, hey, we watched a bunch of film on the Ravens, and they did a bunch of stuff we didn't see. That's good to hear. It's nice when you have the defense. It reminded me of the old Ravens defenses, so it was fun.
Yeah, I don't know if the Ravens' defense is good or not. I mean, what happened against the Colts?
Right.
Our defense was terrible, and then we looked great against the Chargers. You also have the Chargers come from the West Coast with the 1 o'clock game, all that stuff.
And I felt like...
I don't know how much to make of it.
Yeah, because, I felt like every game up to this point, like, the Ravens struggled and then got hot in the second half. And this game, it seemed like everything clicked the entire game, which was new for the Ravens this year.
Yeah, well, if you look at betting lines, if you care about it, 2.5 point, that's kind of a little bit of a smack in the face to the Ravens because 3 points should be home field advantage alone. So you're saying
true.
In a neutral field, the Chargers are favorites against the Ravens?
Right, right.
Historically, that would be very surprising because
the
Chargers struggle in the Ravens' history of success. But you're right, because of how the Ravens have played up until that point, just kind of barely getting by with some fortunate breaks.
Right.
But yeah, this was the most impressive win.
Yeah. I think the whole NFL weekend was pretty good. I mean, Monday night, the Titans showing us that Buffalo is beatable, that they're not this perfect team that no one can beat. I think the Ravens run game looked better than it's looked all year. And none of these guys were on the team at the beginning of the year. So that's good.
And Bateman being back,
Bateman, I'd like to see more from Bateman, but it's nice to have him back on the field. You didn't watch the game, did you?
No, I didn't see any of it.
I thought so. I heard you went to the lighthouse looking.
Yeah,
it's tough with the kids. I know that.
We went apple picking in Aberdeen, and then Havre de Grace to go lighthouse. You know, we went apple picking on Sunday. I just had to get the house with the kids. We picked some apples. And sometimes you don't realize, Josh, when you go out there and you start picking apples, you're just having a good time. My kids can pick them and, you know, we're having fun at bags. And then all of a sudden we're walking back or we're on the hayride back. And then I realize I got 2 bags just full of apples.
Yeah, that's what you do.
And then you get up to the register and they're like $50. $50 for apples?
Green apples or red apples?
It was a mixture. We just had these 2 huge full bags of them. I made applesauce. I've made apple, what I make tonight? Apple crisp. I backed some caramel. We're eating apples all at the ears. And we
do
still have tons of apples. Really bought way too many apples. And now I'm drowning in apples. And it was a huge mistake.
Do you have a food dehydrator?
No.
You should get one of those. That's my favorite thing, is I have the thing that you spin, put the apple in and you spin and it slices it into like thin slices. And then you put, and then I cut that and put it in the whatever it's called. And it, you know, it makes them into like apple crisps. Right, like freeze dried. Overdyed.
I don't like
overdyed.
Any of those.
Overdyed. Overdyed.
Yeah,
overdyed.
Like dried
overdyed. 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 Overdyed.
Overdyed. Oh, and Josh just left. So glad Josh got his internet up and running and fixed. That's good to see. Leave me all here alone to talk about a Ravens game I didn't watch because I pulled a Zane in my apple picking. Hey.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The internet here dropped out or something, or the camera's acting weird. I don't know. It flipped to the other camera in here. So.
I pulled a Zane one and went apple picking. And Haver de Grace, by the way, and I'm also one who. When I was in Havre de Grace looking, we went to lighthouses because that's what me and the kids do. We go to different lighthouses.
Yeah, that's cool.
Every time I see someone in a Ravens jersey, I found myself judging them like, dude, it's 2 o'clock. You're wearing a Ravens jersey and you're over here looking at a lighthouse. Like, what's wrong with you? And then I realized, like, I'm too that person where I'm going to be a Ravens fan, but here I am on Sunday. They play once a week, and I'm here hanging out with the kids.
Right. But... Yeah, but also, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
The Ravens game was the local game down here in Jacksonville. Hmm. So I watched it on regular CBS, which was really nice until the third quarter when CBS decided this game sucks, we're flipping to another game. So then I had to go to the end.
I thought they had to wait till the game ends.
No, if the game's a blowout, they can flip anytime they want, apparently.
Yeah, I was
they
actually watching some of them on my phone because you know you can get a game on your phone. So
yeah.
I was watching some
of them. Yeah, so they flipped games, and then I had to go to the NFL ticket to get the rest of the game.
Fine.
Not that you care. But, yeah, good Ravens game, good football weekend. Bengals this weekend. So hopefully this continues.
Two, right, in our division.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be an interesting test. I mean, the Bengals, to me, I don't want to hear anyone talk about the Browns anymore. Can we not? The Browns stink. They just got blown out by the Cardinals. I feel like every year people are talking about the up-and-coming Browns. Get out of here. Browns stink. I'm done talking about them. I don't even care about them. They're irrelevant to me. So the Bengals, to me, it's a Ravens versus Bengals division.
Yeah, and the Ravens clearly have control of it. The Steelers looked good on Sunday night.
Against Geno Smith. But,
true. It was Geno Smith. Never mind. You're right. Geno Smith looked good.
Yeah, I think this is a two-team race. I think Cincinnati looks really good. That Jamar Chase wide receiver for them is a stud. Their quarterback's good. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a Cincinnati-Baltimore.
So which and let's hope Kansas...
Sunday's game big, right? Because we could be fighting with them for the spot in the division.
Agreed. So, and let's hope Kansas City continues to struggle like they've been this year. The playoffs started today, they wouldn't be in there, and we wouldn't have to deal with
them. Is that the team that makes you the most scared of? Are you more scared of them?
No, I'm the Buffalo. Bills? No, the Bills.
That scares you the most?
Do we play the Bills this season?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we do.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty in the playoffs last year.
So, I used to have the Ravens schedule posted. I'll have to put that up in the closet so I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But, speaking of knowing what you're talking about, we made some amazing predictions back in March. Do you want to get to that?
Sure, yeah, let's go there.
Do you need the intro? Is that what you're waiting for?
Usually, you're gonna hit that bold predictions button.
Time now for bold predictions.
I didn't know if it was gonna work in the closet. Glad I got
this
it working.
Didn't fall under our bold predictions category, but we just talked about wins. It should have been under our bold predictions.
It should have been. The whole episode was basically bold predictions.
Bold predictions is another way to say stupid things.
Yes. So okay.
I predicted 79 wins like a fool.
Yeah, you're a fool. How many wins did the Orioles have?
Not 79.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the total?
No, it was
52.
How many?
It was 52. 52 wins, yeah.
Good enough for the worst record in baseball.
Yeah, I predicted that the Red Sox would be in last place.
Yeah, you were trashing the two teams.
I was trashing the Red Sox. Were the Red Sox and, And the Astros. Yeah, that's a note here, too. I said,
you poo-pooed that.
I said the Red Sox would be in last place of the division below the Orioles. And I said, Houston is not a playoff team. I said, the Angels or Oakland have a better chance than Houston.
So wrong.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I also said 78 wins, which is closer to the 52 than your 79. Yeah. We were out of control last March.
Well, you know,
we really went in hopeful based on spring training.
Well, based spring training and based on 2020, when we were only 10 games under 500, in the abbreviated season, we still did really well, and we were around 500 for a good portion of that season, albeit a certain season.
But I agree.
So we were so, I think, also like just zoned in to spring training, and I was also like we'll get summer bowl predictions, but I thought like Adley was coming.
We thought young kids were coming.
Some of these prospects are coming.
Yeah,
a lot of them didn't come. I was wrong there.
All right.
But Bert, who was not, we joked about Bert because he wasn't paying any attention to spring training. He wasn't paying any attention to the Orioles.
Yes.
And he was able to tell us, like, we're fools. And we were like, no, Bert, we've been watching spring training. We're into this. The Orioles are going to be better than a lot of people think.
Yes.
And Bert's like, shut up. This is the AL
East. We said
the Yankees, the Blue Jays, just the Red Sox, the Rays. They're just going to destroy us every single night.
Right.
And Bert was right.
Yeah, Bert was right. Now, Bert did not give us a number, but he did definitely talk us all and try to say we were crazy.
Below 60.
He said below 60. So, all right, so he won the record game. But he didn't give a number, so it doesn't count. You and I were both very clear of, hey, well, the Orioles are going to surprise some people. We're kind of a year ahead of schedule where we thought we were going to be. And we were so wrong.
Yeah, I guess you see this a lot with rebuilding teams where I remember the Yankees a few years ago. I think it's true with the Astros, where you have this kind of rebuild plan. And then at some point, these young players start coming up. And I feel like it happens quicker than most people are expecting. Because all of a sudden you go from being this really bad team to rebuilding to all of a sudden here's some young talent and you're winning again. And I feel like a lot of teams kind of peak early. And I thought, okay, well, maybe the Orioles can peak early. But now...
Exactly. This offseason is going to be interesting if they want us to come into next season happy and excited, which I think I will be because I always drink the orange Kool-Aid.
Yeah, now I'm super pessimistic, but give me some spring training baseball.
Yeah.
And I'll be on again.
Yeah, well, let's get to it.
Time now for bold predictions.
All right, the first one I have on the notes is I jumped in with a bold prediction about Matt Harvey.
Hmm.
First thing I wrote down in my notes is that I predicted Matt Harvey is going to have a great year, and he is going to be in the conversation for comeback player of the year. Now, I admitted that Trey Mancini would just automatically get it, but that Matt Harvey would have such a good year that it would be hard to not discuss him in the conversation. And Matt Harvey showed glimpses of excitement, but not a comeback player of the year.
No.
So I got that one wrong.
Not even close. Though, I mean, the bar is really low, but in our team, he's one of our best pitchers.
I was going to say, he showed enough that we kind of welcome him back next year.
Yeah.
So that's more than you thought from him, but a lot less than I expected from him.
Yeah, like I thought, I mean, because we were impressed. I remember we having conversations about him hitting like 96 miles per hour in spring training, and that excited us. He was fine. I don't know.
Bert's comment.
Interesting question too. If Mike Elias has interest in bringing him back, I think is an interesting question too.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. You are up next with a bold prediction. Do you remember what yours was?
I don't know the order. Maybe I'm getting the wrong order here. But I said Ryan Mountcastle would win the Rookie of the Year.
Yes. Yeah. That's pretty close.
He was in contention.
His name was there. He had a slow start. If he would have started off April, May, like he did in June, he would have probably gotten it.
Because he was hot in March. I mean, he had a great spring training. And they haven't announced Rookie of the Year, right? That comes, I think, during the World Series or after the World Series.
Yeah, but it's not going to be Mountcastle.
Yeah, I'm be curious to see if he gets any votes, though, if he gets any love or not. But if you're making a list of top rookies, I think you can make a really good argument that he's, you know, top three, or at the worst, you know, top five or six.
Yep, but I agree.
Rookie of the Year, and that was the prediction. And well, he's not going to win Rookie of the Year, and that was the prediction. So that was wrong.
Right. Yep. And I jumped in and piggybacked because I also had a Mountcastle prediction, which was I said that he would hit. I'm trying to fix my stat thing. I said that he would hit 40 home runs this season. Now, I don't think I'm totally off on this because just like you, he got 33 home runs. He got 33 home runs. That slow start, if he would have started up hotter, he could have gotten that 7 more home runs. So I don't feel horrible about that, though I was wrong.
Yeah. All right.
I will say none of our bold predictions said anything about Cedric Mullins.
No, I don't know if he was mentioned in the podcast at all.
He was not, because at that time in March, we did not see Cedric Mullins as an everyday outfielder.
Yeah.
We saw Austin Hayes, DJ Stewart, Ryan Mountcastle, Anthony Santander.
Yeah.
So the fact that Cedric Mullins had an amazing year, I know for months we talked about when's it going to fade. So,
yep.
I will say that. Let's see. Here is a bold prediction that I got correct.
Okay.
I said that Chris Davis will have 0 at-bats in 2021. And I nailed that one. Got it right. I said the injury was going to keep him out all year.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
You didn't say end his career, but all year.
I did not say end his career. Yeah, and I'm still starting my notes for what if, for the what if Chris Davis episode. So we're gonna. That's gonna be our first what if, where we're gonna talk about
what if Chris Davis returns in 2022. No. Oh. Okay.
No, we're gonna talk about different what if scenarios that would have made the Chris Davis contract worth it. So.
My next one. I think this is my next one.
Yes.
About the 10 out of 30.
10 out of 30. Yes.
10 out of 30 prospects.
Yes, 10 out of 30.
Yeah. I predicted that, you know, this is going to be a youth movement. And if you look at the Orioles' top 30 prospects, 10 of those guys will make their major league debut for the Orioles.
Yeah.
And going back and looking at that list,
we had more than 10 guys make their debut as Orioles, but not off that list.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list. I mean, not Adley, not Grayson, not Heston, not D.L. Hall. I'm looking for the list from last year. Or at the beginning of the year, you know, not Diaz did not make his appearance. Michael Bauman did. Zach Lothar, I think, you know, had a cup of coffee. Jamai Jones. Wells had a cup of coffee. McKenna played definitely a lot. So I think I'm looking at, maybe I'm missing a guy, but I think I'm looking at 5.
Right. Maybe Tyler of your Neville 10.
On that list, I think maybe, so maybe 6.
but not the guys you predicted.
Well, yeah, I didn't mention any names.
Okay.
But
whatever.
Yeah, it didn't. It
however, you got to justify
the movement of all these kind of great young players. Even the guys that didn't make an appearance. Like, I thought Lothar and Wells and these guys would pitch more than, you know, a cup of coffee. And that's really where I went, I think, the most wrong in my 79 wins. I said, between all these guys, between your Baumans and your Lothars and your Wells and your Bruce Zimmermans and your Keegan Aikens and your Dean Kramers, like, we're going to find 3 or 4 competent pitchers in this whole group. And we found 0 competent pitchers in that group.
Right.
So that was kind of the biggest disappointment of 2021. And there's a lot of reasons, but the main reason my prediction was so off.
Yeah, well, I got my next prediction right, and I found that the predictions I got right were more towards the negative side, like the Chris Davis has 0. My next prediction was that the Orioles would use more than 10 different starters to get through the season, and I think we used like 18 or something. It's ridiculous the amount of guys that started games. Now, I said 10 that were on the roster at that time. We had so many more come up that were not on the roster.
Do you want to know exactly when started?
How many people started games?
Matt Harvey, John Means. I'm going from game started, the most games started, to the least amount of games started.
Okay.
So the obvious ones are first. Matt Harvey, John Means, Jorge Lopez, Keegan Aiken, Bruce Zimmerman, That's crazy to me that.
Well, that's our starting rotation. That was our rotation in April.
Minus Aiken, because he started off in the minors. But
okay,
it's shocking to me almost that Keegan Aiken has the fourth most games started, and Bruce Zimmerman, who was hurt all year, has the fifth most games started. Like, that is wild.
Well, and Matt Harvey has the most.
Yeah.
And he missed the last month of the season.
Yeah, like only three pitchers had over 20 games started. It's wild.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That's why you're – all right, so you're up to five.
Dean Kramer, Spencer Watkins, Alexander Wells, Chris Ellis, Zach Lowther, Tom Eshelman, Adam Plutko, Travis Lakins, Connor Green, Wade LeBlanc.
15. Wade LeBlanc was on the Orioles this year?
Yeah.
15 starting pitchers. Really, Wade LeBlanc? I have no memory of Wade LeBlanc being on this team.
It was, yeah, he was on for...
one start.
He was on for one start. Yeah, he was... what happened to him? Was he traded or cut? I can't remember now.
I think he must have gotten hurt. I bet he got hurt. I don't know. He wouldn't have gotten traded. That's so weird.
Yeah.
All right, so I predicted 10 different starters. We got 15 different starters. And unfortunately, like, no one stuck, which goes into your next prediction.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. What, I'm distracted now looking at Wade LeBlanc's. Okay, so can we just look at
So what's the Wade? Yeah, share about Wade LeBlanc.
February 3rd, Wade LeBlanc signed as a free agent, 2021.
Yes.
March 25th, he was released by the Orioles. So, yeah, we released him.
Okay.
But wait a minute. March 26th, he was signed as a free agent with the Orioles. So I forget exactly what happened there. Yeah. But released
him money.
Signed the next day by the Orioles. Then May 4th, so something happened. He must have been released again because May 4th, he was signed as free agent by the Milwaukee Brewers. May 26th, he was released. This is all this year. He was released by the Milwaukee Brewers. June 1st, 4 days later, he signed as a free agent by the Texas Rangers. Then 15 days later, June 16th, the Texas Rangers released him. Then June 17th, the next day, he signs as a free agent with the St. Louis Cardinals. So just this year, between March and June, he signed with one, two, three, four different teams.
So when did he get his start with Baltimore?
The
first week of the season?
Yeah, it must have been the first week of the season.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't say, like, he says they re-signed on March 26th. It doesn't say exactly when they released him again.
Right. That's weird. Anyway. All right. So that's our Wade LeBlanc history in 2021. Yeah.
All right. What was your next?
All right. So you're up where you said five pitchers. You had a prediction about five pitchers.
Oh, yeah. I was hating on some of these Zips projections. I was like, these Zips projections.
You were.
They think all the Orioles pitchers are really bad. Like, Zips is so dumb.
Right. Zips, not Zip. Right. You don't need to say Zips projections. You just say Zips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Zips. And I said, yeah, we talked about that last time. And I said, I said four out of the five pitchers for the Orioles, bullpen or starter, would have an ERA under four. Or five.
Yeah, you said five pitchers under four.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And one pitcher having an ERA under two.
Yes. Yes, you did. Yeah. Who did you say would have under two?
Well, I put it this way. Just looking at ERA.
Mr. Deadfish?
Pretty bad.
Where'd he end?
There were Cole Sulcer amazingly had an ERA of 2.70. John Means had an ERA of 3.62. And that's the list for guys with ERAs under four.
Yeah. You got two.
Yeah.
but how about Cesar? Cesar Valdez, you said, would be under two.
Yeah. So
I was really excited about him in spring.
Yeah. I said Cesar Valdez would have an ERA under two. That clearly was not the case, as he has an ERA of almost six at 5.87.
Yeah.
So I was way off on that. I mean, I thought Tanner Scott would have a great year, have an ERA under four. His ERA was, you know, well over five. So all of it was just really bad. Yeah. So
yeah.
I thought Dean Kramer going into that last year, I thought Dean Kramer was our second best pitcher. I thought it was John Means, then Dean Kramer. Dean Kramer ended with a record this year of 0-7 and an ERA of 7.55. That's Dean Kramer's stat line this year. So that's just despicable. So yeah, there was two pitchers. It's almost amazing on our crap team that we had two pitchers with ERAs under four. Like, where would we be without John Means and Cole Saucer? Jeez.
Right. Right. Two pitchers out of, like, 40 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it's pretty funny. Let's see. And then I believe we just had one more prediction where you and I made an Adley appearance prediction, which I find funny now looking back that in March we were pretty sure we would see Adley at some point this past year. And
again,
I think it's because we thought the team was going to play well, so you would bring him up.
In the shortened season, Mike Elias was teasing bringing him up in the shortened season.
Exactly.
And so we thought, okay, this is the next year. He had the whole year at the Bowie facility.
Right.
And then as the season progressed, it became clearer and clearer that Mike Elias had no intentions of ever bringing
him this year. I don't know. I mean, Adley proved himself all season at the minor league level. Every time he moved up, he progressed and he did fine. So I have no question he would have been fine at the major level, but there was no reason to bring him up because his team was so bad. It wasn't going to help him to be around losers.
Yeah.
So you made a prediction of June 4th
is
when we would see Adley Rutschman. Well, you said June 3rd, but it was an off day. Yeah, so we gave you June 4th. Yeah. And I went with July 6th. And clearly we're both wrong. And you might, I know the way you are, you might hold out that same June 4th date for next year.
Yeah. And unfortunately, when we did the podcast last time, or, you know, for this, you know, bold predictions, my mic cut out because I said June 4th, 2022.
But yeah, right.
2022.
I saw that. I knew that was coming. Yeah. No. So I still think we're going to see Adley possibly start the season in the majors.
Yeah.
And if not, come up around June 4th.
Yeah. I mean, my prediction, I mean, I think it will happen in May at the latest. My prediction is going to happen opening day. If it doesn't happen,
mine is
day,
too.
It's going to be May at the latest.
Yeah, I think opening day as well. But, I mean, so the bold predictions weren't horrible. Mountcastle Rookie of the Year was close. Mountcastle Home Runs was close. Chris Davis zero hit at-bats was dead on. 10 different starters was dead on.
The prospects, we saw a lot of prospects.
Yeah. Seeing a bunch of prospects was dead on. So it wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
But I think we can do better next year.
I feel like we learned from this. We need to do more negative things.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. The negative predictions definitely paid off.
Yeah. So look for how things could go wrong and focus on that. Where we focused on, all right, what things could go well, we got to focus on what could be a train wreck.
And next year I'm going on my bookie and I'm betting the under, no matter what
it is.
Betting the under.
That's right.
Even though I'm going to go in positive and orange, I'm going to put my money on the under.
Yeah. Even though every time I watch Carlos Correa hit for the Astros, I tell myself he's going to be the next starting shortstop.
All right. I wanted to talk to you about Carlos Correa. Do you think he could really end up over here?
I think there's a chance.
I mean, it's going to cost some money, but we've got some money.
I mean, the reason people make the connection, right, is because Mike Elias drafted him with the Astros.
Right. Right.
So clearly, like, he liked him. He is going to command a lot of money. He does have some injury stuff in his past, a little bit of injury stuff, which might actually make him slightly
a little more affordable.
Like, not the most expensive shortstop on the market. Though
it's
still going to cost a ton of money. But at some point, Josh, you look at what maybe the Padres are a bad example because of what happened at the end of the season for them. But at some point, you're going to need to get, you know, big name guys to fill spots. Shortstop could be a hole for a long time for us. I know we got Jordan Westbrook coming, and I know we got Kobe Mayo coming, but those guys could easily slide to third or second, where we also have holes.
We don't have a true veteran presence on this team. So to have a leader like that at shortstop would be a huge thing for this team.
If you
sign him and you sign some pitching, again, I'm all excited. I'm back in.
Yeah, and even if you don't, like, sign the pitching this year, like, if you just get Carlos Correa knowing, like, hey, listen, Carlos, we're not really ready
next year,
but, like, hop on board because next year we'll, you know, and next year, the year after, that's what we're going to go after. I mean, I think you can make that argument, right? He's only, like, he just turned 27, so he's still, you could sign a 7-year deal and feel good about it, I feel like.
Right. I hate using the Padres as an example because it hasn't worked for them yet.
Yeah.
But I think you do the same thing that they did with Manny, where they say, hey, look at all these young prospects that we have in the wings. We want you to come over here and help lead this to a championship with these young guys. I think you make that same pitch.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, he would just be really good. I mean, of course, he'd be a good fit in the lineup. But I think he just would be. You also need that. I feel like you need that, you know, high on base percentage, the good batting average.
Yes.
Hits for power. Like, he does everything. He's just a great, great baseball player.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be. I mean, this is a question, right? Are we going to be more like the Oakland Athletics? Are we going to be more like, are we going to spend money, big time money, on players?
I hope so. We got to.
I mean, people do it. I mean, the Rays have done it for a long time. We're not going to be the Rays.
Right.
We'll spend more money than the Rays.
Nope.
But it also doesn't mean that we're going to be the Padres or the Yankees or the Red Sox, right?
But I think they also have to spend money to get people back in the stadium. And it means spending money to win games, get some guys you can market. You sign Correa, and there's some excitement in Baltimore again.
There's also, I mean, we just now, next year, not really, probably for the next 20 years, we're going to be paying for Chris Davis. So there's still buyer's remorse fresh in our memory on our last huge deal. And Carlos Correa is going to be a huge deal if we make that happen.
Yeah, but there's also, I mean, how many pitchers have we had buyer's remorse on? We're going to have to spend money on pitching. We're going to have to spend money on players. So hopefully new regime, Michael Elias had nothing to do with Davis, and Michael Elias had nothing to do with Ubaldo. Hopefully we can just look at and give Michael Elias fresh eyes for some of this.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't, and I think it's, listen, I would put our chance to signing someone like Correa, I would put it like, I don't know, like 1 or 2%. Like not impossible, but also,
it's like 10%.
Really? I would say 2%.
10%. I don't know. I mean, the teams that are going to go out and could really use him, I'd say we're one of the top 10 that could really use him.
Sure. But the top one or two or three, I think it's going to offer
more
than we would. I mean, I think Mike is still in the, like, out looking for deals.
I hope not. And that's what we don't know. And that's what we don't know. That's where Michael Elias hasn't really shared what he's thinking. He did make the comment about maybe spending some money this offseason to bring in some veterans. So maybe.
But if
I think that was in reference to pitching, but still.
Yeah, I mean, if we the pitching staff, and that's another thing too, right? Like, if we spend all this money in Correa, the pitching staff has to be addressed because you can't go in and
Next
year with what you have this year.
And that's one of the things we kind of got right in our bold predictions, just talking before we made predictions. We were saying this team is going to live or die by the pitching staff. That we believe this lineup can put up runs, but we don't know if the pitchers can hold back the other team to 3-4 runs each game. So I think we got that pretty right. We saw a bunch of games where the Orioles would score 9 runs, but lose.
Yeah. Yeah. We said and we were correct that the offense would be better than the pitching. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, but if we're unable to sign Correa, I do hope there's a lot of maybe 1-year deals for some of these guys, so then we can get another shot at them next year. Like, let's just maybe these guys get the long-term deal offers, so let's sign it. You know, do the Trevor Bauer thing where you sign a huge contract just for 1 year. Kind of everybody
that'd be
wait
great.
For us, wait for the Orioles, give us one more year so we can, and then go spend some money.
I mean, yeah, that'd be great, but I don't really see that happening. I mean, that's why I think the Orioles need to sign long-term deals this year, because you're not going to be able to wait until all your pieces are ready and then go out and sign all the players you want. You got to start signing this offseason.
Yeah. And I think also financially it makes a little bit of sense now before you're paying any of these young players big money in arbitration, right? Like, this is the time where you will have the most money, right, this year going forward.
Correct. Right, because the Davis money's not changing this year or next year. It's the same.
Yeah.
So you can't say you're waiting for the Davis money to go away.
Yeah, well, it might go away a little bit, right? Like, I don't know. Like, isn't it possible that some insurance covers some of that cost next year? I don't know how that works.
I have no idea. You mean because he got hurt or something? I have no idea. Don't know. Haven't seen a bus hit him, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch come, you know, November, December, January. Like, this is going to be a very interesting offseason in baseball for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Specifically for the Orioles, it should be really interesting to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree.
You watch any of these playoffs, Josh?
Not really. Okay. I watched, you know what I did? Was it Saturday night? I watched the Houston game. Okay. I watched Houston come back. Here's the problem. The Dodgers irritate me. The Red Sox irritate me. The Astros irritate me. So that's
the
my
Braves
problem
fans
right now.
Me.
The Braves fans, I know many irritating Braves fans, but I'm a Braves guy right now. I just have to be. All the other teams just irritate me.
I find myself kind of like the Dodgers a little bit just because I like Scherzer and Turner. I think it's kind of fun for them. But yeah, I don't like anyone else on their team.
All right. I think this is a Florida thing. All right. And maybe it's Northeast Florida where I'm at. There's too many teams down here in the Southeast, so everyone down here always claims whatever team is winning. It's like, oh, I've been a Tampa Bay fan my whole life, and now that they're out. I've been an Atlanta Braves fan since I was a kid. And it's like, they cheer for, I've always wanted to see the Bucks win a Super Bowl. And now it's, the Jags and Trevor Lawrence are going to be good. And it's like, Tua and the Dolphins. There's too many teams down here, and everyone jumps on board whatever team is hot, and it's so irritating.
Yeah, that's not how we roll up here.
No. Now, college football, they stick with their college football. They stick with the Gators. I get
maybe
that.
Maybe because that's their
primary pro sports,
sport, and all this stuff is just...
it is.
Yeah.
It is, because it is irritating how many... I swear these people that have told me that they're Braves fans have told me that they are Rays fans earlier, and they're cheering for the Buccaneers for football, and they're cheering for the Braves for baseball. It makes no sense, except that you want to make sure that your team has all the championships.
Yeah.
So
it irritates me too. I really struggle with these times. So game starts at 4 o'clock. I can't really watch a 4 o'clock game. I'm home from school, then I have the kids, and then the game starts at 8:30. These games are so long, Josh.
There's a West Coast game at 2 p.m.
Yeah, I know. And then I'm watching a game at 10 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm getting tired, and knowing this game's gonna go to like 11:30, and so I gotta decide, like, do I want to keep on investing for something and fall asleep in the seventh inning? So then I get mad that I'm not gonna be able to stay up for the rest of the game, so I just turn it off in the fifth inning. So I've been watching a lot of kind of first to fifth innings, and then being irritated.
I have no clue when the games are. You're right. I'll turn on the TV and be like, oh, it's already the fifth inning. I didn't even – when did the game start?
Yeah.
I have no clue. I mean, it's 9 o'clock, and the right now the Braves-Dodgers is in the bottom of the eighth. How's that work?
Because that was the early game.
Yeah, because that was the early game. And that is in L.A.
But I thought
– it's in L.A. So it started at like 5 o'clock. No, I think it started at 5. It started at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So it sucks if you're a Dodgers fan, because 2 p.m. you're in work.
But Josh, think about it. It started at 5, and now it's 9.
5 Eastern.
Right, and now it's 9.
And now it's
Eastern.
9.
It's been going on for 4 hours?
I don't know how these times work.
But it started at 6.
Did it start at 6?
I don't know.
I think it started at...
These games, too, are so long.
Yeah.
I'm irritated about
that. I'm totally a Braves guy now.
What's that?
I'm totally a Braves guy now.
Yeah. But on the other hand, like, I find playoff baseball just so exciting. Right? Just so exciting.
Okay.
I find all
these games have gone down to the end.
Yeah, and like every pitch is kind of a huge deal. The crowds are super into it. Like, I just, from watching just the Orioles all year, like no one caring about them, to just team packed stadiums where every pitch matters. It's just, like, to me, just there's something about baseball, playoff baseball, that's just so fun to watch. So I've been enjoying that aspect of it.
The Braves have hit 2 walk-offs.
Yeah.
And the game is tied right now going into the bottom of the eighth. If I was a Dodger fan, I'd be nervous I'm going to see another walk-off.
Yeah. And the Braves were underdogs going into that series. So
Totally. Yeah. So, so since I am in Northeast Florida, I'm now a Braves fan.
Yeah.
So it's time to get me a throwback Nick Markakis jersey.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'll make the trip up for the World Series. I've always wanted to see my team in the World Series.
Yeah, I guess my other thing is, I don't have that strong rooting interest. Like, I'm rooting for the Red Sox to lose. I mean, I'm not conflicted about the Astros.
Oh.
Like Dusty Baker, and I hate the Red Sox. I don't hate the Astros.
Also.
I hate the Red Sox,
right.
So I'm rooting for the Red Sox to lose as well.
Also, Braves fans act like there's been a struggle for them their entire life. the Braves were one of the most dominant teams in the 90s.
Growing up, they were, they'd won at least just marking the
calendar. But you talk to a Braves fan, you talk about a Braves fan, and they talk about their whole life a struggle to see the Braves back on top. Get over yourself.
Okay, so.
But I'm a Braves fan.
So now you're with me about the obnoxious
Braves fans. Braves fans are obnoxious. There's like one Braves fan I really like. Besides that, they're all obnoxious.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
All right, but I'm a Braves fan.
Not to mention the whole game. I get here in the background, the whole chop thing. But the whole game, chill. Give it a rest. Do it in the seventh in the stretch or something. Get out of your system. I got to do it every single pitch. Like, give it a rest.
Right, and you don't want, guys, the Braves fan, you don't want to bring that attention to you. Look what it did to the Indians and the Redskins.
Yeah, you're about to lose your team.
Settle down. If you want to keep your team name, you're about to be the Atlanta Baseball Club. Enjoy that.
Well, that's still better than the Guardians.
I like the Guardians. I think the Guardians is a cool name. I think all the logos and graphics and all is crap, but I like the logo, Guardians. I like the name.
Introduce the name. I like that video where Tom Hanks introduced the name.
I did not see the video with Tom Hanks. But I like the Guardians. I like that it's based on the big bridge in Cleveland. So I like that. Fine. So the Guardians of Traffic or something like that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's the name of the bridge.
Of traffic.
I know. It's, right. Yeah.
At least no one would be offended by an Oriole bird.
You never know. PETA might come out after us at some point. That's why if I was Washington, I would stay Washington Football Club and not choose a mascot because you're going to offend someone.
Well, and let's face it, Washington offends, the football team offends people enough week in and week out, both on the field and off the field, that they could lose. They could use as little drama as possible. All the Sean Taylor stuff this past week. Just always
did you see Mahomes' brother?
Why would they have, like, someone was tweeting out they honored the street name for Sean Taylor and they took the picture, and behind the picture of all like the players is just a row of Porta Johns, and then they did another photo op with the owner, and the owner is in like a hoodie, like doesn't look professional at all, with all the family. And then there was the field, everyone standing on his number. It was just,
right, they had it roped off to force everyone onto the number instead of off the number. It made no sense.
Terrible, yeah.
Not to mention they also announced the retirement 3 days before the game.
Yeah, that too. And even like family members 3 days before the game.
Yeah, 3 days before. Yeah. It was like a, I don't know, like, did they misunderstand that the Gruden emails didn't hurt them, it hurt Gruden, and they felt like, yeah, we got to spin this story.
Yeah, maybe that Bruce Allen connection.
I don't understand where this came from. When the Ravens retire a number or do a Ring of Honor, they announce it in the offseason, so tickets will sell and people will be there.
Do everything right.
And the Ravens don't do it in a game where you're going to get blown out.
Yeah, that too.
You don't do it. The Chiefs are coming to town. You're the Washington Football Club. Yeah. What do you think's going to happen?
True too. There's just... That whole organization's a joke.
It's a joke. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. If you're ever irritated at Peter Angelos, just think of Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
All right. I'm gonna go catch the end of this Dodgers Braves game now.
Yeah, I'm a Braves guy, so I'm gonna go do the same.
Let's see what happens.
I'm gonna see you this weekend.
Yep. Yeah, I'm flying down Thursday.
Now, do you guys have plans for when you're down here?
No, I have a conference I need to kind of be on the computer for on Friday for a little
bit. Okay. Okay.
Exactly when. I don't think
so. See, I know the way you guys travel. You guys have two modes of travel. Either you travel, no plans, we're going to relax, or you travel with, here's the itinerary for our time.
Oh, no, I haven't even talked to Emily really about it, so there's no itinerary.
Okay, so you don't know.
Yeah, maybe she has an itinerary. I have no itinerary.
Okay, you don't know. All right. Well, I'm picking you up from the airport. I know that.
Yeah, I'm just happy to have no kids for the weekend.
Exactly. It'll be nice. I had my kids this weekend for the first time for my weekend with the girls, and we had a great time out on the beach and doing some mini golf and doing all the fun stuff now that I'm living out on the beach.
Sweet, cool. All right. Well, you can follow us on social media platforms, all the normal ones. You can also follow Josh and some dating app ladies. You can follow me on Twitter.
Maybe I'll give you an update next week on that.
You can follow me on you can follow the show on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at Section336Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Section336. You can follow Josh on Twitter
And Josh Taroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's. And go Ravens. And go Braves, I guess. And go Astros.
Haven't you heard? We've got that underdog style, but we'll be crushing the curve.